Unit 11. Language and Thought. Section 2. Integrated Listening and Writing. Listen to the conversation and answer the questions. Let's go over the Sapir-Whorf hypothesis, because the professor mentioned it at least 3 times.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be on the exam, unfortunately.
First of all, the history of the idea that language determines thought.
It began with, I'm drawing a blank.
That's okay. Let me find it in the book. Here it is. The idea that language determines thought was not original to Sapir and Whorf. It goes all the way back to an essay by the German philosopher Willem van Humboldt in the early 1800s.
Willem van Humboldt, right. And then the idea was taken up by Franz Boas, who noticed all the variation in both grammar and cultures around the world, and especially among Native Americans. He concluded that culture was reflected in language.
Mm-hmm. Edward Sapir took the idea even further and said that language didn't just reflect culture and ways of thinking, but might actually determine them.
So what was Benjamin Whorf's role in all this?
Whorf was a student of Sapir's, and he tried to make the hypothesis more precise by finding the specific grammatical features that corresponded to specific ideas or cultural patterns. Whorf's summary of the hypothesis was, and I quote, "We dissect nature along lines laid down by our native languages."
Dissect nature?
Meaning we divide the world into categories and ideas according to the language we speak.
Okay, I'm with you so far, but I'm still not completely sure about the difference between the strong version of the hypothesis and the weak version.
The strong version says that all thought is defined by language, which means that thought couldn't exist without language. But what's one problem with that view? It's a pretty easy question.
Right. Easy for you, maybe.
Well, remember what the professor asked us to do yesterday? We were supposed to think of a time when we were trying to express a thought or an idea, but we couldn't find the right words for what we meant.
Right. Now I remember. And that's happened to everyone. So even though we use language to express thoughts, thoughts can exist apart from language.
Which pretty much disproves the strong version of the Sapir-Whorf hypothesis. So let's talk about the weak version. That language doesn't determine thought, but it does influence thought. For example, it influences what things we're really likely to notice and remember. We might be asked to list some evidence for this. Can you remember any?
Color terms. Languages differ a lot in their color vocabulary, and this can influence the way different colors are distinguished by different languages.
Yes. And then there's the tribe of Indians in Brazil, whose language only has 3 words for numbers: 1, 2, and many. Research proved that these speakers had difficulty remembering numbers above 3.
So, do you think the weak version of the hypothesis is correct?
It's hard to say. It makes sense to me that your language will have an effect on how you think. That's the whole basis for politically correct rules about language. Like in English, we sometimes use the word men to mean human beings, either male or female. Feminists say this usage is disrespectful to women, so it encourages people to think of women disrespectfully. There may be something to that. Number 1. Why are those speakers discussing this material? Number 2. Listen again to part of the conversation, then answer the question. First of all, the history of the idea that language determines thought.
It began with, I'm drawing a blank.
That's okay. Let me find it in the book. Why does the woman say this?
I'm drawing a blank.
Number 3. According to the talk, who was the first person to suggest that language determines thought? Number 4. Listen again to part of the conversation, then answer the question. Whorf's summary of the hypothesis was, and I quote, "We dissect nature along lines laid down by our native languages."
Dissect nature?
Meaning, we divide the world into categories and ideas according to the language we speak. Why does the woman say this?
Dissect nature?
Number 5. According to the conversation, how does the weak version of the Sapir-Whorf hypothesis differ from the strong version? Number 6. Listen again to part of the conversation. Then, answer the question. The strong version says that all thought is defined by language, which means that thought couldn't exist without language. But what's one problem with that view? It's a pretty easy question.
Right. Easy for you, maybe.
How does the woman seem to feel about the man's question? Number 7. According to the conversation, which of the following is not possible evidence for the weak version of the hypothesis? Number 8. Listen again to part of the conversation. Then, answer the question. Like, in English, we sometimes use the word men to mean human beings, either male or female. Feminists say this usage is disrespectful to women, so it encourages people to think of women disrespectfully. There may be something to that. How does the man seem to feel about the feminist view of language?